Hello, this is John Robles. I'm talking to priest monk Father Xenophont of the Orthodox Eparchy of Res Prizren in exile in Kosovo.
Hello, sir.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. Regarding the events of last Friday and over the weekend in Kosovo, in northern Kosovo, what have you done or what has the church done to help the victims of the KFOR violence?
Well, I mean, I can talk as a priest monk of the Diocese of Res Prizren in exile and can't speak on behalf of the whole of Serbian Orthodox Church. Unfortunately, the events that we've seen in the last couple of days are not surprising because it's just continuation of the politics of the so-called international community led by NATO in Kosovo of fighting for enabling and functionality of the independent Kosovo. So although the mandate of KFOR from the very beginning in 1999 was to establish substantial autonomy of Kosovo within Serbia or at the time Federal Republic of Yugoslavia, that is Serbian Montenegro, from the very beginning they did a big job of helping the Albanian national minority in Kosovo, separating Kosovo from the rest of Serbia. The small part of northern Kosovo where the Serbs still combat in accordance to the resolution 1244, you know, not allowing the Albanians to engulf them and to ethnically cleanse even these last parts of Kosovo where Serbs live with others. So we shouldn't forget that in the northern Kosovo there is also a number of Albanians, Turks, Bosniaks, other ethnic minorities, so that they want to engulf the last parts of Kosovo where Serbs live in freedom. And KFOR puts itself in the role of helping Albanians in doing that cause.
In this regard, you said they're more or less involved in ethnic cleansing in Kosovo.
Well, yes, you know, like I've told you, the mission of KFOR in Kosovo, the mission of international organisms in Kosovo since 1999 was to establish a peaceful, quiet environment. Unfortunately, the whole of Kosovo has been ethnically cleansed from Serbs. And today, paradoxically, nobody poses the question why Kosovo has been almost totally ethnically cleansed from Kosovo Serbs. So from every city in Kosovo today, you would find a handful of Serbs only living or in some enclaves around Kosovo, but the city is totally ethnically cleansed. For example, you have at Pristina, which had the 40,000 Serbian community before the conflict and which has a handful of Serbs living a ghetto-like life.
They're all in ghettos, you say?
Most of the Serbs from Kosovo have gone to the rest of Serbia. There are some enclaves in Kosovo, some Serbian villages where still Serbs live, so in where now these clashes with KFOR have been, and the rest of Kosovo, the Serbs are some 130 to 150,000. For example, I'm one of the people living in the enclaves here with the people in the so-called Sirinička Župa within Kosovo, in the village called Brezovica on the mountain of Šarajin.
Just a reminder, you're listening to an interview with Father Xenophont of the Eparchy of Res Prizren in exile.
Can you give us a little bit of the history of the Orthodox Church there in exile of Res Prizren?
I don't know how much your listeners are in course of the history of Kosovo itself, the history of the Serbian Orthodox Church in Kosovo, especially in the last a decade or two, but many of them certainly have heard of the name of Bishop Artemie, who was the diocesan bishop of the diocese of Ras and Prizren, a remarkable man who in the last two decades managed to make a real renaissance, revival of the monastic and the spiritual life in Kosovo, and the diocese of Ras and Prizren had a flourishing monastic life, both of monks and nuns. There was more monks and nuns in his diocese a few years ago than the whole of the rest of the Serbian Orthodox Church. On the other hand, Bishop Artemie was a very principled man concerning both the teaching of the Orthodox Church, which somehow in the last years was very much compromised by the influence of ecumenism all over the Orthodox world. Mm-hmm. And Bishop Artemie fought against this influence of ecumenism, which he himself and Holy Fathers before him called a pan-heresy. On the other hand, Bishop Artemie was an outspoken defender of the protection of international law in Kosovo, that is, keepsaking the Kosovo as the most precious, most holy part of Serbia, and a part of Serbian history, part of Serbian tradition, part of Serbian spirituality within Serbia. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the developments in Serbia in last years, which we have been witnessing, that a regime in Serbia led by the Democratic Party and at the time this last years by President Tadic, was very much inclined to accept many of the blackmails coming from the side of the Western countries who recognize independence of Kosovo. Mm-hmm. Bishop Artemie was an outspoken critic of this politics, mm-hmm. of the many of the aspects of the politics of President Tadic. And in 2010, unfortunately, some parts of the Serbian Orthodox Church, which were very much inclined to subdue to this secular influence of the Serbian state, understood or accepted the fact that Bishop Artemie represents a very big obstacle to the causes, to the ideas of finally realizing the idea of independent Kosovo. A way should have been found to remove Bishop Artemia from Kosovo, and the supposed financial problems within the diocese were found and Bishop Artemia deposed. I must emphasize that until today, these financial accusations have not been proven, although they have been in the court for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And Bishop Artemia removed, deposed from his post. Many of us monks and nuns and some priests who were his faithful spiritual children decided to follow Bishop Artemia in his spiritual exile, opposing ourselves to this injustice and raising our voice. Many of the Serbs today in Serbia, I would say, and with every day even more, understand the just cause and the just fight and struggle Bishop Artemia and his monastics are fighting in Serbia.
What percentage of the population in Serbia and in Kosovo are followers of the Orthodox Church?
I would say some 80% of population in Serbia today are Orthodox. Kosovo itself represents the holiest part of Serbia with a very rich number of medieval monasteries and churches. So one should not forget the monasteries as Gračanica, Visoki Dečani, Banjska, the Church of Bogorodica Ljeviš in prison, because in medieval time Kosovo itself was the center of Serbian state and the place where the Serbian king sat. We have to mention that since the arrival of international so-called peace forces to Kosovo, we had more than 150 churches destroyed. One-third of these churches and monasteries are medieval monuments, and some of those really jewels of medieval Serbian Orthodox architecture and art. Many icons destroyed and burned. And
the Serbian Orthodox Church is the second oldest Orthodox Church in the world and holds many Christian relics, including, I believe, the right hand of John the Baptist and some other relics.
Yes. The hand of John the Baptist is being kept in the Diocese of Montenegro, and there are many others, of course. I mean, but the Serbian Orthodox Church has a very old history, very rich history, and very rich spirituality. This is exactly the reason why we have to fight, and we have to offer everything, including our lives, of protecting this patrimony.
That was an interview with Father Xenophant of the Eparchy of Ras and Prizren in exile. Thanks for listening.